This afternoon, brothers and sisters, I have the privilege of preaching God's word to you as we find that in Psalm 63. So that's also going to be a reading for this afternoon. We're going to read together from Psalm 63. Psalm 63, we'll start at verse 1 and we'll read the entire chapter together. It's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you in my bed, I meditate on you in the watches, in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Then after the proclamation of God's word, we're going to sing together from the same psalm, Psalm 63, the verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, here we are at the end of another year, the year of the Lord, 2023. If you look back, then there are so many reasons for us to be thankful. I think it's particularly true for us as a congregation. If you think it's really this past year that the Church of Carter Brook came into existence, really quite something that's gone into that. The fact that members from two different congregations could come together. Just the fact that God gave a willingness of mind for it to happen, and God blessed all the work that it took in order to come together as a congregation. It's really quite a blessing of God. Think about the faithful office bearers. Think about the fact that you go to classes and you ask classes for approval, that the classes signs off on it. Also think of the generosity that God worked in the hearts of the members in Mundijong and also Byford towards us, also in allowing us as a family and me as a minister to come and to minister within your congregation. What a treasure, what a gift of the Lord, what a kindness of our God. We read in a number of places in the Bible that there's certain times where the Lord gave his people one mind, and they're able to do many things. Just if I use one example, it's after Pentecost that the people were of one mind, and they served the Lord with glad and sincere hearts. They rejoiced in the fact that they could be God's children, and in the message of the gospel that they could participate in. And God's blessed us not only as a congregation, but also for each of us individually. If you look back to your own personal life, isn't it true that God has been really kind to you once again this past year? So much peace and freedom. We have food and drink. We have safety and protection. We're those who have family and friends. We have children. We have a stable family life. We have so many spiritual blessings, love and joy and peace and contentment and faith and hope. Now you think about that, and the overriding sense in your heart is one of praising God from whom all blessings flow. That doesn't mean that life is always easy, that it's never sad, and that there's never any struggles. So in the past month, we've gotten to know a few of your families. Thank you so much for the invitation to get to know you, and thank you also for opening your hearts to us. That's one of the things that Amanda and I have talked about is when we get to meet you and get to know you, then you see that there is this Dutch saying, and I think you translate it, each family has its own cross to bear. And that's really true. It's also true of you. Sometimes significant health concerns or degenerative diseases or a loss of hearing or eyesight or stressful family relationships or financial stress or wayward children or marriage breakdown or longing for children or jobs that involve a lot of stress or burnout or significant demands in caring for family or grieving the loss of loved ones or personal disappointments. Now, just on a personal level, we each have our own things to bear. And on top of that, you look forward to a new year. Sometimes you do that with great joy and anticipation. But then there's other times that you also wonder, how's everything going to go out? How's everything going to turn out? What will it be for your family? What will it be for us as a society? In our society, there's an increasing pressure against allowing Christians to worship God in peace and freedom, and allowing us to educate our children the way that we wish to. Or if you look at the broader context in the world around us, we have these simmering conflicts that are going on in different places. The conflict in Ukraine, it doesn't seem like it's going to be any less, it's going to lessen in any way in the coming year. Or if you look at what's going on between Israel and Hamas, you know, that's something that, you know, that also has the potential to even escalate. You see the shipping lanes in some of the Middle East. And in some ways, it kind of almost feels like there's different proxy wars that are going on for deeper conflict that could break out at some point. Well, you think about the challenges, brothers and sisters, and then the question becomes, how do you move forward in a good way? How do you handle that in a way where you have peace and where you are at rest, where you can look forward to the future with hope and with anticipation? We don't know what the new year holds, brothers and sisters. But the one thing the Lord teaches us is he says, no matter what happens, the most important thing is that we look to him and that we rely upon him for help and blessing. You know, on one level, we all know that. We know that that's what it's about, and we know that's how we're supposed to approach life. But on another level, sometimes the question is, when you're in the midst of stress, then how do you get there? And how do you actually make it happen? How do you figure it out with your family members? Or how do you find peace with the personal circumstances or the health situation that you have to deal with? Well, the greatest thing God teaches us is to strengthen ourselves with his word. One of the most comforting psalms is probably Psalm 23. It's a psalm in which David has deep confidence in the Lord. And the core reason for that is he's secure in God's love, God's care, God's protection for him. But you know, when you read Psalm 23, maybe you do that sometimes, you have loved ones who are struggling and you read the psalm with them. The thing about Psalm 23 is it has the feel of a psalm when David's an old man. He's lived a long life. He's experienced a lot of different things. And at the end of his life, he kind of looks back and he says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. He has guided me through the deep valleys. He's cared for me. He's looked after me. No matter what's happened, the Lord has been faithful and he's been there for me. But that's still different than being in the moment. The question is, when you're in the moment and when you struggle, then how do you deal with that in a good way? One of the psalms that talks about that is Psalm 63. David is involved in one of the most difficult experiences of his life. The heading of the psalm tells us that he wrote this psalm when he was in the wilderness. He's in Judah's wilderness. Well, we know from elsewhere in Scripture there were two times in his life when David was in the wilderness of Judah. The first time was in 1 Samuel 23, verse 14 and 15. His father-in-law, King Saul, is trying to kill him. He's mustered an army. He's chasing after David. David is in the wilderness, and he's in this great distress. Well, can you imagine your father-in-law wanting to kill you? The other time is in 2 Samuel 15, verse 28. His son Absalom is a very charismatic young man. He's attracted quite a following. And at some stage, he decides to stage a coup. He's going to do a march on Jerusalem. He's going to take over the capital. He's going to become the king of Israel. And he's going to drive his father David off the throne. Well, once again, David flees for his life into the desert. And again, I ask you, can you imagine if your son wanted to kill you? What would that be like? How do you manage that? How do you deal with that in the moment? Well, I don't know many people who've been in that place, brothers and sisters. Pretty distressing. But it is possible that you're living in the wilderness in some other way. And if you are in the wilderness, then the Lord teaches us here how to find peace in God. I preach God's word to you with this theme: earnestly seek God when you are in the wilderness, because he will help. And the calling of the psalm is in the first place to seek him, secondly to praise him, and finally to trust him. So the tendency when we're in the wilderness is that we focus on all the trouble that you're in. When life is really hard, then you have to think about all the difficulties. And it's easy to focus on the frustrations and the hardships and the pain and the distress and all the trouble that you're having. You can get into a really bad place in your head if you do that. But you know, David's in a different place. He's in the wilderness. We know that from the heading of the psalm. But the most striking thing is when you read through Psalm 63, he doesn't really talk about that. He doesn't talk about the unique circumstances that has driven him into the wilderness. There's no mention of Saul who's coming after him or of Absalom who's betrayed him. No, instead, his focus is on God. It's in verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. He's out in the desert. The landscape is parched. And the sense, he says, that's a picture of his soul. He thirsts for God. He earnestly longs and desires to be with the Lord. Well, how does he get there, brothers and sisters? He's in this really hard place. And he tells us the reason he is in that space of still focusing his attention on the Lord, not forgetting about him, is because he knows God. He knows who God is, and he knows what God does. He spent time in the shelter of God's wings. He's experienced his loving care. So in verse 2, he tells us, so I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. David has confidence in God's care because he says, I've spent time in church. I've been in your sanctuary. And I know from there of your power and your glory. And so when the hard time comes, he's not floating on his own. He calls to mind who the Lord is and what the Lord does for his people. In verse 3, he mentions the steadfast love of the Lord. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. The loving kindness, the steadfast love, the chesed of the Lord, this is the one thing that he draws upon. The Lord is a God who is a faithful love for his people. He is a love that fulfills his covenant promises. And David says, I know that's true about the Lord. The Lord does love me, and he is faithful, and he has promised to look after me. And so I'm going to build my life on those promises. You know, God promised to protect him from harm. He promised to give him a kingdom. He promised that one of his sons would rule on the throne after him. Well, David's experienced the Lord's fulfillment of some of these promises. And so deep in his heart, he knows of the steadfast love of the Lord. And if you think about that for yourself, brothers and sisters, you know, for you and I today, we know of God's steadfast love in an even greater way than David did. Because we know of the love that he's extended to us in Jesus Christ. He sacrificed his own son for us. He's fulfilled all his promises through Christ. And so we can have this deep assurance in the steadfast love and the faithfulness of our God. And yet, when we are in the hard times, you're ever in a family feud, serious conflict with others, it's not to say that we always have peace and rest in our hearts. Isn't it true sometimes, brothers and sisters, that you get focused on the hurt and the frustrations and the grief? Sometimes when you're in the middle of the conflict, then it's easy to become overwhelmed by it. You just want it to stop. You want it to be resolved. You want to protect yourself from more harm. You wish that you could have peace again. You want to show that you're in the right. Well, in verse 5, David tells us how he keeps his focus on the Lord. He says there, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you in my bed, I meditate on you in the watches of the night. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you, your right hand upholds me." When David's being attacked by his enemies, when he wakes up in the middle of the night, then he says the one thing he does is he meditates on who God is and what God has done for him. He doesn't wake up, think about all the trouble and all the distress and all the things that could go wrong. No, he wakes up and he thinks about the Lord. And he thinks about the promises of God. He meditates on who the Lord is and what the Lord does for his people. Well, maybe David thought about the victory that God gave him over Goliath. Maybe he thought about the good friend that God had given him in Jonathan. Maybe he thought about the times that the Lord gave him victory in battle, or the times he saved him from Saul's murderous rage. In verse 7, he talks about being in the shadow of God's wings. If you're in the shadow of God's wings, then you're a very safe place. It's the imagery that the Lord Jesus Christ uses, Matthew 23. He cries out for Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who come to you, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would have none of it." Well, a bunch of you live in the country, quite a few of you have chickens. Maybe you've seen it happen. You have the mom sitting there and you have the hen is sitting and she's got little chicks and she's protecting the chicks under her wings. It's the safest place in the world. There's peace and there's security. And that's what David has. The Lord is my God, and I'm secure with him. Well, do you understand then, brothers and sisters, what it takes to have peace and intimacy with God? You remember who God is. You spend time in his presence. Week after week, you come into his sanctuary, you meet with him in his house, you praise him, you hear about the great works that the Lord has done in the past. You think about that, and you turn it over. You wake up in the middle of the night, and instead of stressing about all the problems, you think about the Lord. You think about his faithfulness to his people. You think about the fulfillment of his promises to the people in the past. You call to mind the way that he's been faithful in his dealings with you in the past. And then, you know, one of the core ingredients to get to this place of peace and security is often that you have to go through this suffering. It's when you suffer, and it's when you open your Bible, and when you find your peace in the Lord, that's when the security grows. That's when the intimacy grows. You cry out to God, and you plead with him. Now, if you open the Psalter, there's about a third of the Psalms in the Psalter. They are lament Psalms. They are Psalms where God's people cry out to him for help. They're in the desert. They're in the wilderness. They're struggling and it's hard and they need help. And so they pour out their hearts to the Lord. And these things were written down for our instruction, brothers and sisters. God wants to help us in relationship with him. You know, King David himself, in Psalm 3, he pours out his heart after Absalom chased after him. Or in Psalm 18, Psalm 54, Psalm 57, and Psalm 59, he wrote them after Saul is chasing after him in the wilderness. Well, that's what you can use to strengthen yourself in the midst of suffering. You remember the steadfast love of the Lord. You call to mind the promises that he's extended to you. You remember that he is your help, and you seek his protection in the shelter of his wings. It's pretty special to know the Lord. For David, it wasn't only the attacks. Verse 11, he says, there's also this hatred, these lies, these attacks. People are not only chasing him, they're also spreading slander about him. Well, slander is one of the more difficult things to deal with. If somebody slanders you, then the minute you try to speak the truth, you try to defend yourself, then it looks like you're being defensive. And then people think, well, where there's smoke, there's fire. It's probably true. And he's being pretty defensive after all. And so you're in this terrible situation when others slander you. Well, David doesn't get caught up in that. He doesn't get stressed out about it. He turns it over to the Lord, and he finds peace and rest in his God. Actually, it's so interesting. If you go back to Psalm 3, that's the one time when Absalom is chasing him, and David gives a little picture of how he deals with that. Psalm 3, verse 5, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of tens of thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. The army is bearing down on him. His son is coming after him. You know, his generals told him, David, whatever happens, you need to get across the river. You need to get out of harm's way. You need to be careful. And at one stage, David says, you know what? It's nighttime. I need a rest. I'm going to sleep. And I'm not going to worry about this. And that's what he does. He lays down and he sleeps because he's secure in God's loving care. Tomorrow's going to come in due time. In the meantime, what I really need is a good night of rest. In verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I know that you'll protect me, Lord, and so I can get the rest that I need. Well, have you met people like that, brothers and sisters? Someone who has peace and security in the midst of the wilderness? I've met a few people like that. One brother, concentration camp, Nazi Germany. At one stage, he experiences some of the horrors that had gone on. Went through a lot of different things in his life. And then at the end of his life, he gets cancer, esophageal cancer. And the nurse comes to him and tells him, you know, most people who have this cancer, they die from it. And then he's asked to fill in an intake form, and can you tell us, please, how stressed you are about the fact that you might die from this cancer? And he circles a zero. And the nurse comes up to him afterwards, and she says, I don't think you understood the question. You could die. Like, how worried are you about the fact that you could die from this cancer? And he says to her, he says, the Lord has always been my God. He says, I lived through the concentration camp. We had the biggest Allied bombing that has ever happened in the history of the world, and we lived through that. And I had tuberculosis in the camp, and I lived through that. And I escaped from the camp, and the Lord washed my life. He brought me through, and he brought me to the other side. He has always been my God, and he's always cared for me, and so he's able to care for me in the midst of this as well. Am I stressed about it? He says, no. He says, I find my peace in the Lord. These are the people of God, brothers and sisters. The Lord strengthens you. He sustains you. He carries you. As you build yourself on the Word, as you find peace in the Lord, then he carries you through no matter what the circumstances. Well, at core, it's the work of the Spirit of God, brothers and sisters. It's not us. It's not how strong we are. It's not how good we are. But it's really about knowing the Lord Jesus. If there's anyone who's experienced profound distress, then that was the life of our Savior. He was hated by many people. He was rejected by his family members. He was betrayed by one of his close friends. He knew what it's like to be hated and to have other people who wanted to kill him. Yet in the midst of all that, the Lord Jesus Christ had this profound security, this profound sense of peace. And he did it again by going to his father. He often slipped out and went to lonely places in order to pray. And he relied upon his father. He depended upon his father to carry him through these things, to strengthen him for them. And so at the end of his life, he knew that his life was going to come near to the end. And he pleaded with his father that if it's possible, please take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. And it's because of the security he had in the care of his heavenly father. Well, brothers and sisters, this spirit of Christ is given to us. It's when we're in the wilderness that we can ask that the Lord Jesus Christ would live in us with the Holy Spirit and that he would strengthen us through those days. And he promises that he's going to do that for you. And so who knows what the year holds? Each one of us has a different life. It could be many blessings and it could be real trials. In the midst of that all, the Lord calls us to look to him, to pray to him, to depend upon him, to meditate upon the greatness of what he's done for us, to remember how much he's done in Jesus Christ, and to find security in the shelter of his wings. Well, if you're in that place, do you know how good it gets? The one thing that David keeps talking about is the joy that he has in his heart. And he calls us to sing. In verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the watches of the night, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. I will have joy in my heart. I do have joy in my heart, David says. You've been my help. You've given me peace. You've carried me through it. And so in the midst of the suffering, David says, I'm going to sing to you. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to praise you because you are my God and I get to be your son. You know, David wrote psalm after psalm. He's the author who wrote more psalms in the Psalter than anyone else. And the biggest theme of his songs was pleading with God for help, and then in the same song, also thanking and praising God for the help that he has given. It's really quite something. When you're secure in God's love towards you, then the rest of the world can go a little crazy. But you have what's most important, and no one can steal your joy. It's not always sunshine and roses, brothers and sisters. Sometimes there's difficult days we have to go through. But the Lord is our God, and he gives us joy as we trust in him. Well, it's possible, brothers and sisters, you read about that, you hear about that, then you read the last couple of verses of the psalm, and you kind of wonder what's going on. If you go in verse 9 and following, then David talks about how God is going to destroy those who hate him. Seems a bit brutal. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. It sounds as if David's filled with hatred towards these people. Sounds like he wishes his enemies were dead. You read that over and you wonder, where is the sense of peace in it? But you know, that's not actually the truth of the situation here. There was a bunch of opportunities where David could have killed Saul. He had him in his power. You have the one situation, Saul's with him there in the cave, and David's men are asking him. They're saying, listen, can we go out and can we kill him? He's given your enemy into your hand. Let us go out, let's put an end to your enemy. And David says, never. He says, forget it, you're not doing that. He is the Lord's anointed. It's not for us to put him to death. You're not going to do that. Also, when David went out to fight against Absalom's army, he sends out his men. And then in 2 Samuel 18, verse 5, he orders them, he says, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And then when Absalom actually is killed, Then he cries out. He's deeply moved. He weeps and he cries out. He says, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." He's not a man who's filled with hatred. He's a man who's crying out in grief because of the death of his son. So how do you make sense of these words, brothers and sisters? Well, it's great encouragement for any who are in situations where there's conflict. If you are in conflict, then one of the hardest things, and if you give it over to the Lord and you find your peace in God, then one of the hardest things that happens is sometimes you struggle because it feels like other people get away with their evil. Somebody's done something to you, and it's really hurt you, and you suffer because of what they've done. And if you give it over to God, if you find peace in God, then it almost feels as if they're not being punished for it, and they're able to walk away, and they're able to just get away with whatever they do. And on another level, David's saying, you know, that's not the truth of it. The Lord is God, and he is a just God. And he has great confidence that at the end of the day, the Lord will work it out. If these people need to be punished, the Lord will do that. And so real life, the calling of Scripture is the Lord says, do what you can to be reconciled to the people around you. At the same time, he says, pray for their repentance. Make every effort to be at peace with others. Luke 6, he even says, do good to those who abuse you and those who mistreat you. And you can do that because you know that the Lord is judge. And you know that he's a just judge, that he has it in hand, and that he'll work it out in a way that true justice is administered, and that everyone receives what they need. Well, it's quite an encouragement, brothers and sisters. You can leave with the Lord, once again, because he is your God. You can find peace in him because he will work out everything according to his plan. So really, as you look forward to a new year, brothers and sisters, do you understand the care that the Lord has for you? You are his dear children, and he loves you very much. He knows that there are going to be hard times in life. We don't know what the year has in store for us. Maybe it's easy. Maybe there are many blessings. Maybe there's trials. Maybe it's difficult. Well, if the Lord allows it, if you are in the wilderness, then know that he hasn't abandoned you, that he's drawing you close. And if you are in the place where there is a wilderness, then remember that you are in the shelter of his wings. When you wake up in the middle of the night, then focus your attention on the power of the Lord, the glory of your God. And remember the great things that he's done in the past. Remember his steadfast love, his mercy, his justice in Christ. In Matthew 4, God tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ went out into the desert. And it was during that time that he was attacked by the devil. But God also tells us that he wasn't alone, that the Spirit of God led him into the desert, and the Spirit was with him, and the angels of God ministered to him, and he endured that time in his life through the powerful help of his Father and through the working of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's the promise that the Lord gives to each one of us. As you earnestly seek God, as you look to him and cling to him, then you will receive the peace of God. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will be with you, and he promises to bring you into glory. Amen.